Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all of the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Verse 34. Then the king will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited Me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you looked after Me. I was in prison, and you came to visit Me." Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or need clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to visit you?" The Lord will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of Mine, you did for Me." Verse 41. Then He will say to those on His left, "Depart from Me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave Me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite Me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe Me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after Me." Then also, they will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothing, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for Me." Verse 46. Then they will go away into eternal punishment, and the righteous to eternal life. Our subject this morning: at the judgment of God. At the judgment of God. The most sobering thought in my life ever is the realization that at some future time I will appear before my Lord at the judgment of God. Now, there are many aspects of the judgment and life after death that we are not given. But the Lord gives us a great deal of information concerning the judgment. In fact, in my understanding of the Scriptures, there are at least nine things that are made clear concerning the judgment of God. We looked at five of those last week. We're going to look at the last four this morning. So we did say, at the judgment of God, I will not be alone. I will not be alone. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, we will all appear before the judgment. According to 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1 and 2, the living and the dead will appear at the judgment. According to Acts, the 17th chapter and verse 31, the world will appear at the judgment. So at the judgment of God, I will not be alone. Number two, at the judgment of God, I will be alone. There's no contradiction. The Bible clearly teaches that all of us will be there. But the Bible just as clearly teaches that when we stand before our Lord to be judged, we will be judged as an individual. We will not be judged as a family. We will not be judged as a congregation. But as we are judged, and when we are judged, the Lord will judge us as if we were and as if I was the only person he ever made or created in his image. At the judgment of God, I will not be alone. At the judgment of God, I will be alone. Number three, at the judgment of God, I will come face to face with my Lord. Today, Jesus stands as my Savior, but on that day, he will stand as my judge. At the judgment of God, I will wait while the books are open. The book of life will be opened on that day, Revelation 20 and verse 15. The book of the deeds of my life will be opened on that day, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. The book of God's word will be opened at the judgment of God, John chapter 12 and verse number 48. At the judgment of God, I will witness as my life is an open storybook before the Lord. On that day, I will be judged by what I did. On that day, I will be judged by what I did not do. On that day, I will be judged by my words. And on that day, I will be judged by every hidden thing and every secret of my life. Now let's reset and we go on to new information now. At the judgment of God, I will not be alone. At the judgment of God, I will be alone. At the judgment of God, I will come face to face with my Lord. At the judgment of God, I will wait while the books are opened. At the judgment of God, I will witness my life as an open storybook. Number six. At the judgment of God, I will participate in the eternal separation. I will participate in the eternal separation. Now you look at our text in verse, beginning with verse 31. Jesus says that when the Son of Man shall come, Son of Man was the title that Jesus gave to himself. So Jesus says that when I return, I'm going to be accompanied by the heavenly host, the angels. Jesus said that I will sit upon my throne, that is, where he will judge, and that before him will be gathered all nations. And he said, I will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. Jesus said, the sheep I will place on my right hand, and the goats I will place on my left hand. Brethren, listen to me. At the judgment of God, I will participate in the eternal separation. Now follow me very carefully. There are many separations that come in time.
There are many separations that happen to us in this life. For instance, there are separations that occur because of school, that is, because of college. When your children go off to college. Back years ago in the day, I worked for what was then Michigan Christian College in Rochester, Michigan. My job was to go to different congregations every Sunday and preach throughout Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois, and then afterwards to talk to the young people there to get them to attend the Christian school in Rochester. The first day of school was always an amazing day. When those freshmen would come on to the college, come to the campus, before anybody got out of the car, we knew if it was a girl or a boy. We knew if it was the son or daughter, because if it was the daughter, there was a trailer being pulled behind the car. Here comes a girl. If it was a boy, a guy, he'd get out of car and he'd have like a duffel bag in one hand and a ball in the other hand, and he was ready to be edumacated. He was ready. But for those families, most of those families, this was the first time in 18 years that son or daughter's room was going to be empty for any period of time. There are many separations that occur in this life. There are separations that occur because of military service. For four straight years, I held a meeting just outside of Washington, D.C. In D.C., everybody is somehow connected with the military. And every year I would go there to preach, there would be families that were there the year before that weren't there this year. And I would say, now what happened to such and so? And they would say, well, he was deployed. She was deployed. They were sent somewhere across the country or somewhere overseas. So there are separations that occur because of military service. There are separations that occur in this life because of death. How many times have I stood on this very spot while a family has said goodbye to a loved one? How many times has that happened? Now, brethren, listen to me. All of these separations in this life are hard. But all of these separations, they're very, very difficult. But now understand this carefully. How does that mother and father, how do those parents go about comforting themselves when they leave their son or daughter on that college campus? How do they comfort themselves? Well, all you have to do is listen to them. Every single parent would say exactly the same thing. They would say, now, okay, we've got to go now and leave. But in X number of weeks, it will be Thanksgiving. And in Thanksgiving, we will be back, and at Thanksgiving, you are going to come home. So how were they able to comfort themselves? They were able to comfort themselves because of the prospect of a reunion. That at some point, they were going to be able to reunite and come back together. How were those military families able? How are they able to comfort themselves? All you had to do was listen to them. They would say, now, okay, you're going to be deployed for 11 months. So that means that next year, right around spring, you'll be back. Or you're going to be deployed for 18 months. So before next year and before the holiday, you'll return. They were able to comfort themselves because of the prospect of a reunion. They were going to come back together. They would be reunited. When Christian people bury their loved ones and they lie right here in state, how do they comfort themselves? All you have to do is listen to them. We're saying goodbye now, but we'll be reunited on the morning of the great resurrection. Now, these separations are difficult. These separations in this life are hard. But these separations can be tolerated. These separations can be eased because of the hope of a reunion someday that will occur. But now, I must tell you about a separation where there will never be a reunion. And that will be the separation at the judgment of God. That will be the separation when the Lord, the judge, separates the sheep from the goats. When he separates the saved from the unsaved. When he separates the godly from the godless. Brethren, the separation at the judgment of God, that will be an eternal separation. Forever. Christian husbands will be separated from their unsaved wives. Forever, Christians will be separated from their unsaved co-workers. Forever, Christians will be separated from their unsaved family and their unsaved friends. What am I saying? I'm saying that at the judgment of God, that I will participate in the eternal separation, and you will participate in the eternal separation at the judgment of God. Next, at the judgment of God, I will hear either the commending or the condemning voice of my Lord. I will hear either the commending or the condemning voice of my Lord. The commending voice of the Lord is found in verse number 34. Look at it. Come, you who are blessed by my Father. That will be the commendation of the Lord that day for those who are saved. For those who are on the right, for those who are saved, they will hear, come, you who are blessed by the Father. Now let's analyze that commending statement in verse 34. Jesus says, we are blessed. Come, you who are blessed. Why are we blessed? We are blessed because the judge says we are blessed. examine the verse. He says, you are blessed of the Father. You are blessed of the Father. Listen to me. It doesn't matter if the world curses you as long as God the Father blesses you. Examine the statement. We will be blessed. We will be blessed of the Father. Look at it further. He says, come. Come, you who are blessed of the Father. On that day, those of us who have been cross bearers will become crown wearers. At the judgment of God, to hear the commending voice, at the judgment of God, I want to hear my Lord say to me, come, you who are blessed of the Father. That's what I want to hear. After all of the tribulations here, after all of the pain, after all of the loss, I've buried my mama, I've buried my father, I've buried my brother, I've buried my nieces, I've buried my nephew, I've buried my other nephews. Listen to me, on that day I want to hear, come, ye blessed of my Father, because heaven will be worth it all. On the other hand, there will be the condemning voice of the Lord. It's in verse 41. Depart from me, you who are cursed in eternal fire. Those who are on the left, those who are lost, will hear the condemnation. Depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire. Brethren, every word of that has terror in it. Every word of it. You examine that statement. Depart from me. From me. Look at who you're departing from on that day. You are departing from the Savior. You are departing from all hope of salvation. You are departing from the one who is the very fountain of all good. Depart from me, Jesus says. Examine the statement. He says, you're cursed. Depart from me, ye cursed. If we reject the Savior in this life, we will be cursed in the next life. Look where we're cursed. In the eternal fire. What is that? That is the fire of God's eternal wrath. Now think about this. Look, I'm serious here. Think about this. After all of the tribulation in this life, all of the pain and the suffering and the loss and the heartache and the disappointment, to then leave here and be lost eternally, you will curse over and over the day you were ever born here. At the judgment of God, I'll not be alone. At the judgment of God, I'll be alone. At the judgment of God, I'll come face to face with my Lord. At the judgment of God, I will wait while the books are opened. At the judgment of God, I will witness my life open up like a storybook. At the judgment of God, I will participate in the eternal separation. In the judgment, at the judgment of God, I will either hear the commending or the condemning voice of my Lord. Number 8. At the judgment of God, I will either praise or I'll plead. Are you listening? If I hear the Lord say to me, come, you who are blessed, I will praise him. Now, if you want a graphic example of that, you read Revelation 4. Verse 1 says, that there was a door in heaven that was open, and John was told to look inside. Well, if the door of heaven was open, and if John looked inside, then what did he see? He saw what was going on in heaven. And John said there was a throne in the middle. And you understand, he's describing to us the undescribable. He says there was a throne in the middle. And there was one who sat upon that throne. And around that throne, he says, were 24 elders. We understand those 24 elders to represent the saved of all time and of all dispensations. And on the outside of that throne were four living creatures. Those four living creatures describe all of creation. And here's all the saved and all of the creation. And John says they were all saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. John says they sang around that throne day and night, forever and forever, singing, worthy is the Lamb, for thou art worthy. Listen, listen to me. If I hear those words, come ye blessed of my Father, I will praise God forever. But if I hear the words, depart from me, ye cursed, into eternal fire, I will not praise him, but I'll plead. I'll plead. You want a graphic example of that? You read Luke 16. Jesus says there was a rich man who lived in luxury, and a poor man named Lazarus. And one day Lazarus died, and he was gently carried by the angels into the bosom of safety. And the rich man also died. Lazarus didn't die, and he wasn't saved because he was poor, and the rich man didn't die and wasn't lost because he was rich. There are good rich people and a lot of poor people, mean as the devil. But the rich man died. And in the world of Hades, Hades means abode of the dead, in the place where the wicked spend after this life until the judgment, the Bible says that the rich man began to plead, Abraham, have mercy on me. Have mercy. Now listen to what he asks for. It's strange. He says, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool me, for I'm being tormented here. Listen, the man didn't ask for a glass of water. He just wanted a drop. What would a drop do? It wouldn't do anything. But sometimes anguish is at such a degree that any kind of relief is relief. At the judgment of God, I'm either going to praise Him or I'm going to plead. One more thing to note. At the judgment of God, listen to the term. At the judgment of God, I will begin my eternity. Look at verse 46. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. Eternal, everlasting punishment. Eternal, everlasting life. Listen to me, we're almost there. Listen to me. At the judgment of God, I will begin my eternity. Brethren, every preacher in the world tries to come up with illustrations to somehow illustrate the length of eternity. And every time I do that, I sound silly. It's silly. So I'm going to attempt right now to do something that I've never, ever done to describe this. Let me ask you a question. How long is 1 million years? Do you understand? Do you know that there's not even been 1 million days that have passed since Jesus lived and walked on this earth? It's not even been 1 million days since Jesus lived here. But I'm not talking about 1 million days. I'm talking about 1 million years. How long is that? Let me ask you another question. How long is a century? You say, well, a century now is 1,000 years. Do you understand that there's only been 2 centuries since Jesus was here? He lived here? Just 2 centuries. Now, I want you to let in your mind 1 million centuries pass. I will stand 1 million centuries. From today, I will stand right where I started. What am I saying? I'm saying that in eternity, you never leave the starting gate. You never leave the starting gate. 1 million centuries have passed. Where am I? I'm right where I started. I'm right where I started. The most sobering thought in my life is that one day I'll stand face to face with my Lord. I've heard all of my life the loneliest job in the world was to be president of the United States. I beg to differ. The loneliest spot in the world is to stand face to face with my Lord. At the judgment, I'll not be alone. We're all gonna be there. At the judgment of God, I will be alone and will be judged as individuals, as if we are the only people who are ever on this earth. At the judgment of God, I'll come face to face with my judge, the Lord. At the judgment of God, I will wait while those books are opened. At the judgment of God, I will witness my life become an open storybook about what I've done and what I've not done, about what I've said and all my secrets laid bare. At the judgment of God, I will participate in the eternal separation. At the judgment of God, I will hear either the commending or the condemning voice of my Lord. At the judgment of God, I will either praise Him or I'll beg and plead with Him. And at the judgment of God, I will begin my eternity. Your greatest need is to prepare for the judgment of God. It begins with faith. Faith. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. You've heard the word of God. Receive it now on His terms, believing it, turning from your sins and being immersed for the remission of your sins. If you're a Christian who's lost the way, you need to come back and you need to repent. And understand this morning, you do not need to do these things because I say so. You need to do these things because God said so. There's a great day coming. A great day coming by and by. The righteous will be ushered into eternal life. The unrighteous unto eternal punishment. What you do this morning on this cold, snowy day in the city of Detroit may determine on which side you stand in that great day. If you need to come, God help you to turn whatever loose you need and do it right now as together we stand and as we sing.